Gear Vlogs in the News podcast, episode 9. On today's podcast, is Chevy going to build 20,000 model year 20 C8s? Plus, no more C8 carbon fiber options? No C8 price increases for the model year 2021 C8s? And more stories from Ford and Dodge. If you're on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to this channel, tap that like button, leave a comment, and share this video out. Our first story. Chevy says it will build 20,000 examples of the 2020 Corvette. It won't be nearly as rare as early reports claimed. Chevrolet confirmed it built about 2,700 units of the 2020 Corvette between February 3rd, when the model entered production, and March 20th, when the Bowling Green, Kentucky factory shut down to fight the corona. This low figure suggests that the 2020 model year would become one of the rarest in recent memory, but the firm announced the final numbers will grow exponentially if unexpected delays don't bring the assembly line to a halt. Harlan Charles, the model's product manager, revealed Chevrolet will build about 20,181 cars for the 2020 model year. This figure includes the cars built in February and March, the models the factory has manufactured since it reopened on May 26, and the dealer ordered cars it will make until the 2021 model year enters production on November 2nd. Reaching this goal depends on a variety of factors. Chevrolet needs to be able to keep the plant open without disruption, which rests on how the virus spreads, and its suppliers must keep up with demand. Enthusiast website Corvette Blogger pointed out Bowling Green builds about 11.5 cars per hour, meaning it churns out 92 cars during an 8-hour shift. Approximately 10,120 examples of the Corvette will drive off the assembly line between June and November 2020. So Chevrolet needs to run a second shift for approximately 15 weeks to assemble 7,000 additional cars and meet its 20,181 car target for 2020. Charles also shed light on how customers are configuring their 2020 Corvette. Chevrolet received orders for 16,750 coupes and 3,431 convertibles, and most buyers are selecting the range-topping 3LT trim regardless of body style, and 5,045 cars will be painted torch red, the most common color by a wide margin, while 605 will wear Zeus bronze, which is the least popular hue. Meanwhile, 5,651 cars will get a jet black interior, while only 202 will be manufactured with a Morello red. Chevrolet hasn't revealed the changes it has in store for the 2021 Corvette. We know its base price will remain pegged at $59,995, which is surprisingly low considering the level of performance it delivers. That silver flare metallic and red mist tint coat will join the palette of available colors, and that the magnetic suspension currently only available on cars equipped with the Z51 performance package will become standalone option. With all this talk of channels being shadow banned, do me a favor and head over to gearvlogs.com and sign up for my newsletter for show updates and promotions. Don't worry, this list is just for me in the event that the big techs decide to Alex Jamie. And now on to the next story. 2020 Chevrolet Corvette no longer available with high wing spoiler. Not long after, it was revealed that the carbon fiber ground-affix package of the 2020 Chevrolet Corvette is no longer available. It's now reported that the high-wing spoiler is also being ditched, much like how the ground-affix package was removed due to demand overwhelming Chevrolet suppliers. The same fate has befallen the optional high-wing spoiler. It remains to be seen why Chevrolet is removing the option as opposed to finding a new supplier that can meet demands. While this is bad news for customers, Corvette Blogger has reported that a number of new accessories are coming for the 2020 model year. The contoured core cargo area liner with Corvette Racing logo, contoured black floor liners with Corvette Racing Jake logo, a new C8 rendered car cover, as some examples. The sports car will be available with new cargo liners and floor liners featuring the Jake logo used by Corvette Racing. The cargo liners will set customers back $135, while the floor mats have been priced at $195. Customers can also shell out $1,195 for the car cover that mimics the look of the C8R race car and has initially available in yellow racing livery. News of the change-up in the accessory for the 2020 Corvette Stingray comes shortly after it was revealed that the car manufacturer will end production of the 2020 model year through the end of October. In addition, it has been confirmed the drop top will hit production line in late July and arrive as a 2020 model year, despite previously being expected to land as a 2021 model. And on to our next story. 2021 model year Chevrolet Corvette won't get a price hike after all. While Chevrolet was expected to increase the starting price for the Corvette Stingray during the 2021 model year, it has been confirmed that the range will continue to be priced at $59,995. During a recent virtual NCM bash last week, Corvette chief engineer Tad Junkter said the car manufacturer wants to do the right thing by customers and won't jack up the starting price of the C8 for the 2021 model year, with the 1LT Stingray continuing to starting at $59,995, according to Corvette Blogger. Corvette production manager Harlan Charles added that some changes will be made for the 2020 model year. Perhaps the most notably is the fact that the magnetic ride control system will become a standalone option, meaning customers who no longer have to opt for the Z51 performance package if they want the advanced suspension system. Additionally, Chevrolet will ditch the available blade silver and Long Beach red paint finishes in favor of silver flare and red mist metallic. During the presentation, Chevrolet revealed that just 6% of the C8s are being specced out in blade silver, while 5% of customers are opting for the Long Beach Red. When speaking about the current 2020 model year, Charles said that the total of 20,181 orders have been placed, of which 83% have been for the hardtop, while 17% have been for the convertible. There we have it. Hey, if you're one of the 43% of my iTunes listeners, thank you. And if you could do me a favor on iTunes, rate and leave a review for this podcast. It can definitely do me a big favor on the algorithms and all that fun stuff. So, thank you. Let's go on to our next story. 2020 Ford Mustang struck by a recall over defective safety gear. Let's see. Did you buy a new Ford Mustang earlier this year? If you did, then this news probably comes concerns to you, as the Dearborn automaker has issued a new recall for the extremely popular pony car. According to information released by the company, certain Mustangs may have been equipped with a forward-looking camera that is misaligned to the vehicle. As a result, several safety features may not work as intended, increasing the risk of having an accident. An incorrect forward-looking camera alignment calibration may cause features to have degraded functionality during the vehicle operation, the Blue Oval states. These features include pre-collision assistance, adaptive cruise control, lane keeping system, driver alert, and auto high beam control. The pre-collision assist system effectiveness is detecting a frontal collision may be compromised, increasing the risk of an accident. Ford is unaware of any crashes or injuries that may have been caused by this issue, which affects a mere 24 units in the United States and only one in Canada. All of them were built at the Flat Rock on February 10th and 11th, and the fix will see technicians reconfiguring the forward-looking camera by aligning the lane departure warning system camera free of charge. A second recall announced by the automaker concerns 1,616 units of the Transit in the United States and 131 in Canada. These were made at Valencia from July 17th through the 31st in 2016, and their seatbelt pretensioners may not deploy in a crash, increasing the risk of injury to a front occupant. Ford is unaware of injuries associated with this condition and said its dealers will inspect the seatbelt assemblies and replace those produced within the aforementioned period. As usual, all work will be carried out at no cost to the customers. Now, if you're listening to this podcast, I'm breaking for a sponsored message. So, stay tuned. Back in a moment. Okay, our next story. Martini livery 2020 Porsche 935 will shake and stir your checkbook. A rare track-only 2020 Porsche 935 will be up for sale through an online auction later this month and is expected to sell between $1.275 million or $1.42 million and €1.375 or $1.53 million US. This particular 935 was delivered to its original buyer in Monaco this past February, and while it is unclear why the current owner is parting ways with it so quickly, it seems likely they want to flip it for a profit. It is serial number two of just 77 examples produced and is finished in lovely Martini livery. One more reason to view this podcast if you're listening to it on iTunes or Spotify, to check out the YouTube version of this video so you can check out all the images that this podcast is referencing. Back to the story. The listing on RM Sotheby's doesn't offer all that many details about this particular example, other than saying that it was just the second 935 completed by the factory and has remained in storage since being delivered and has not been driven. Porsche unveiled the modern-day 935 at the Rennsport Reunion 6 at Laguna Seca Raceway in California last year. It is based on the current 911 GT2 RS, which means it is powered by a 3.8-liter twin-turbocharged six-cylinder engine pumping out 690 horsepower. Mated to this engine is a seven-speed dual-clutch transmission and electronically adjusted limited slip differential that powers the rear wheels. All of the car's exterior parts are made from lightweight carbon fiber, reinforced polymer, meaning the car weighs just 3,042 pounds, or 1,380 kilograms. A host of true motorsport parts are also present, such as a 115-liter or 30.3-gallon fuel cell, an electronically triggered fire extinguishing system, tire pressure monitoring, a Recaro racing seat for the driver, and 6-point safety harness. Lots of examples here. Links to all of these stories will also be in the description box down below if you're watching this on YouTube. Next story up. Dodge Challenger ACR rumored finally on its way using Viper ACR as a benchmark. Want to get within 2 seconds of the Viper's time at Road Atlanta or Road America? In 1995, Dodge released the ACR Neon, an unlikely combination of cheap, compact American sedan and high-performance parts and engineering marketed by initials standing for American Club Racer. Dodge sold a heap of them, so the automaker flexed the ACR brand's potential with the first ACR Viper in 1999. The racy coupe made huge noise for Dodge and the Viper. After the fourth generation Viper ended production in 2010, Dodge took the Challenger ACR concept to SEMA in 2011. But instead of carrying the coupe to production, Dodge resurrected the Viper for 2013 and got one more Viper ACR model out during the last Viper's final years. With the Viper gone again, it appears Dodge is sorting out that Challenger ACR concept for real. Last October, Mopar Insiders reported the automaker was trying to get a Challenger ACR prepared for the model's 50th anniversary this year. The timing looks highly unlikely, but all PAR sources say the track happy coupe is coming and with bonkers expectation and gear. We're talking about a big boy wide body Challenger tuned to do hard laps fast around twisty circuits all day long. An Alpar insider known as Mother, a code name to tug at John LeCar's heart, says Dodge is considering two engines because the point of the car is to be raced and some series don't accept forced induction. One trim would fit the naturally aspirated 392 Hemi from the RT Scat Pack. There's no telling if that motor would get a power bump, but the Challenger ACR concept upped its output slightly with measures like a catback exhaust. Other trim naturally would fit the 6.2-liter Hellcat Red-Eye V8. Mueller told Alpar that if engineers can get the car under 4,000 pounds, the math points to being within 2 seconds of the time set by the Viper ACR-E at Road America. E represents the extreme aero package with additional likes of a deeper front splitter, dive planes, and an adjustable dual-element rear wing that helped the Viper bring up 14-lap records on U.S. tracks. The fastest time we know of for the Viper at Road America is from 2011. Record race driver Kuno Whitmer doing a 220 even and a Gen 4 Viper ACR. Whitmer's ride weighed 3,408 pounds. Dodge Buffon's want to get the Challenger ACR under 4,000 pounds. Achieving the weight goal would mean cutting at least 387 pounds from a standard RT Scat Pack wide body and 512 pounds from the Hellcat Red Eye wide body if that trim has the same target as a S for competitors when the 2020 Ford Mustang Shelby GT 500 owner weighed his car. The scale showed 4,080 pounds, while Chevrolet lists the Camaro ZL1 at 3,907 pounds. After an extreme diet of what certain to include a pile of carbon fiber, rear seat removal, and tweaks like door release tethers, the Challenger ACR would don components and garb from the Viper ACRE in its final form. The Viper ACRE could produce 2,000 pounds of downforce. So far, the equipment list is said to include the front splitter, rear wing, maybe the Bilstein 10-position adjustable suspension with caster camber dampening and height easily changed at the track. Don't be surprised at an appearance close to the Challenger Hellcat run by privateer Wesley Motorsports team. We suspect Brembo will be tasked with a more refined set of brakes too. James Dodge intends the Challenger ACR run to go to real racers, so while it will be street legal, it won't be tuned for plush Challenger comfort. Report from last October said even the passenger seat would be optional for the price of $1. Should all of this come true in 2021? Looks like the best bet for a reveal that will give the Challenger ACR 2 years to keep buzzing going before the next generation comes in 2023. Perhaps with persistently aligned convertible Barracuda version in tow. And on to our next story, a little troublesome to have to report it, but it's the news. Looters raid FCA dealership driving off with Hellcats, burn AMG GT and Mercedes showroom. Chaos erupted across the Bay Area and California over the weekend as civil unrest over the death of George Floyd, a black man who was killed in police custody in Minneapolis on May 25th, turned into widespread looting. In San Leandro, one of the largest suburb towns in Alameda County, rioters ransacked an FCA dealership with video posted on social media showing individuals doing burnouts and driving off with a number of vehicles, including at least two Dodge Challenger Hellcats, a Dodge Charger widebody, and a Jeep Grand Cherokee. The dealership in question is San Leandro Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram SRT, located on Marina Boulevard. While some videos shared on Instagram show looters driving off the dealer's parking lot and into an adjacent road, it's not known at this point if Dodge and Jeep vehicles were stolen purely for a quick joyride only or to be abandoned later on the road or if they will be broken down for parts. Aerial footage from NBC Bay Area chopper that looks to have been shot after the rioters dispersed shows the destruction left behind with several broken windows on the showroom and damaged vehicles on the parking lot. In another instance in the Bay Area, someone allegedly even went so far as to steal a police horse, or at least that's what the Instagram user claimed. Following the unrest across the area, the Alameda County Sheriff's Office issued an advisory on Sunday night warning all residents to stay home. Quote, all Alameda County residents are advised to stay at home due to civil unrest reported throughout Alameda County and the greater East Bay Area. Read the advisory. Quote, unless personal travel is necessary, we are recommending residents stay at home due to high number of police actions. Currently, There are multiple reports of large mobile groups of rioters and looters traveling throughout the East Bay area. Quote. Other dealerships have appeared to have been hit in the Bay Area, including Mercedes-Benz of Oakland at 29th and Broadway on Saturday night, May 30th. Social media video shows looters setting an AMG GT coupe on fire while other vehicles were broken into and vandalized, causing thousands of dollars of damage. There's a link to a video here, but I'm not going to play it. If you want to see it, I'll have links to the video description as well as on the podcast, so you can check out these stories yourself. And the story goes on. On Monday, the Mercedes Oakland dealership posted a video on Facebook showing their employees cleaning up the showroom. Stated that our family is rebuilding. We are a part of the community. And obviously the video was taken down. And let's see. I think there's one video here that a friend had posted to me on Instagram of that they had taken. This is from posted by Instagrammer supercar.fails. So play his video here for you guys to check out. Actually, I don't think not, because of, I don't want to risk any copyright issues of any music's playing or whatnot. But yeah, check out the video in the description down below. So if you're watching this video on YouTube, be sure to leave a comment down below. Hit that like button or dislike button if you didn't like it. Share it if you did like it to your friends. That way I can grow this channel. And I want to thank all of my recent subscribers that have been subscribing to my YouTube channel. And for those of you listening to the audio-only version of the podcast, thank you too for listening. And be sure to follow me on whatever platform you found me on. iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Bullhorn, to name a few. And if you have a particular podcast platform that you like listening to that you want to find me on or you can't find me on, let me know in the comments down below. Or drop me a email or DM with your suggestions. Till then, have a good one, and see ya!